Welcome to Black Girl in CLE, the podcast. I am your host, Shayna Black, and in each episode, my special guest and I will talk about local events, the topic of access in Cleveland, and sometimes we'll just talk about some cool people who are doing cool things in the greater Cleveland area. I'll introduce you to this week's guest right after this. Welcome, everyone. Today, I'm going to step away a little bit from the brand because I'm talking to someone who's not from Cleveland, but I think it's super important to help us have some breakthroughs and do great things around the city. I am talking to Nando, the Breakthrough Coach. Say hello, Nando.
Hey, how are you? Thank you so much for having me on.
Of course. So first of all, let's just get down to what a Breakthrough Coach is. I think people are familiar with relationship coaches and business coaches. What's a Breakthrough Coach?
That's a really great question. And you're right. A lot of people know exactly what a business coach, a relationship coach, executive coach, what they are. I kind of created a niche for myself. So there might not be too many of us out there. But when I actually took a look at what I do, the results I get my clients, it's breakthroughs. So I'm like, I'm a breakthrough coach. So pretty much what it consists of is my clients come to me who are successful, right? So they're at the top of the game at whatever it is that they're doing, but there's an area that's unfulfilled, right? And so it's a great thing to know the difference. I can be successful, but unfulfilled, right? Okay. And so they come to me wanting to create a breakthrough, wanting to create movement in whatever area that is. So it could be relationship, it could be job, it could be personal finances. Right. And so as a breakthrough coach, we tap into that area, create a breakthrough, and then things start to shift in that area. And that's what I do. That's a breakthrough coach.
So would you say that most of the relationships, the finances, all those pieces basically are they're looking for a breakthrough? That's something that they all have in common?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not that they have in common, but you know, different people will have different needs that they feel unfulfilled in. Right. And so what is common, no matter if it's finances, relationship, career, is that there's a common denominator there, which that's what we tap into. Right. And so whether I'm dealing with somebody who's about relationships, failed relationships, dealing with somebody who's trying to create a breakthrough in finances, the common denominator is there's something in the past that occurred that they're still hanging on to. So we don't know what that is, but there's something in the past that they keep bringing into the future with them.
Okay.
And so that's how to create that breakthrough.
Very cool. And we're going to circle back to what you're holding on to a little later. So why did you decide to do this? Like the breakthroughs or just coaching in general?
Coaching?
Yep.
Yeah. So about a year and a half ago, almost 2 years, I was working in corporate America. And I was my job was inside of HR. I would create content, blogs, videos, graphics, social media posts, and attract people to come work at our company, right? So I was a content creator, but within the HR department to help recruiting. And one day, about 2 years ago, my boss brought me in. And it was just like, hey, we're going to consolidate departments. And I was like, oh, okay. So does that mean I now report into Steven? And she's like, no, you don't report into anyone. We're letting you go. Right. And I was like, what? And so you know me. I declare myself, you know, a recovering drama queen. Okay. So I immediately went into a panic and we're just like, my life is over. Oh my God, I'm home. I'm going to be homeless. I'm jobless. Da-da. And so what that started was a journey of me inside of being hopeless, depressed, uncreative, just the blues, anything you could think of, like woe is me. That was my journey from the moment that my boss let me know. And so inside that journey, you know, I didn't know what to do next because I'm not a spring chicken. And it was just like major failure. Dude, You're in your 40s, you just got let go. Because let's be real, you know, a layoff, being laid off, for me, how it landed was still, you're getting fired. Like, yeah. We're letting you go, right? It's just a polite way. Like, it's not you, it's us, right?
Right. You didn't mess. That's the truth. It's not you, it's us. You didn't mess up. but
that's the messaging. But what started occurring really was my past. So I started to bring forth all the times I had disappointed myself, all my failures, all my disappointments. And what was really resonating was like, Nando, here you go again, not making it. You're not worthy. Wow. And here's proof. Here's the evidence. So that's what spiraled me into the depression, into the hopelessness, into like, I don't know what to do now. And I'm so thankful that that's what occurred. I'm so thankful because inside this, I don't know what to do next. I found transformational work, okay, right? To transform how I think, to transform my mindset. And at the end of that journey, it was 8 months that my coach, I got coaching. My coach was just like, hey, you really like took yourself out from depressed to like amazing. You know, you might want to consider being a coach yourself. And I literally needed that outside viewpoint because I couldn't see it for myself. Oh yeah, I'm no longer depressed. I wake up actually smiling now, you know, and it's so weird. Nice. Because when you're in it, you can't see it. And then sometimes when you're out of it, you can't see it because it's a gradual coming out of, right? So yeah. It wasn't like a Wednesday I woke up, Wednesday I was sad, and then Thursday I was happy. The shifts were occurring. The little transformations were taking place, and it was an 8-month journey for me. And so really it was my coach pushing me, having me see, hey, there's something there for you. And I got really curious. I got really interested in transformation, learning, you know, what it is to now be able to coach someone. So I went, I got certified. And then that's when my journey actually began, which was a year and a half ago. So I've been doing this for a year and a half. Oh, wow. And clients that I've had have been so generous with me, and that's how I've been able, because how do you become, anyone can be a coach, right?
Right.
But how do you become a successful coach? How do you become a coach that actually provides the results that you say you're going to provide? Is practice, 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 practice. So in my early on coaching career, people were so generous that they would be like, yeah, coach me. And so it was just getting the practice. You know, you, how we met,
right,
was through a group coaching brand ambassador program that I created. That was my first of its kind.
Okay.
And because of your generosity, I'm now able to create group coaching situations and know that they will be successful because you guys got results. So that's my journey. It's a long road answer that I gave you, but that was my journey. I got let go, found coaching, became a coach, got practice, bam.
Well, before we leave that, because I would have never thought you'd only been doing this a year and a half. Just so you know, and yes, you are my coach and have coached me, so I want to say that, and some others of us here in Cleveland.
Yeah.
We all have had, and it was said to me that you will help. So you were referred, like, you want to do this. You're going to have breakthroughs. It's going to help you immensely. So,
and do you want to talk about like my original answer to you?
Sure. Yes.
Do you want to talk about that? Because people need to know how, yes, powerful and amazing and what a stand you are for yourself. What did I say to you when you applied for the program?
At first you thought I didn't fit.
I said no.
Yep.
I said no. You're not a fit. Maybe somewhere down the line, you'll be a fit. And what was your response to me?
But I do fit. I want to do this. I must do this.
I'm getting chills and I'm getting emotional because for somebody, I could have passed. What you did really made me reflect on how I was allowing people or not allowing people into this program.
Okay.
And with you came back to me and you said, but I do fit. I do belong here. It was a breakthrough for me. Nando, what are you doing? How are you judging people? You know what? Let them come in. Like, and especially you, right? Because for you to be such a stand for yourself, and but I do, and then you listed why and how you fit in and what you've been up to. And I said, yes. And just to clarify, one of the requirements was to have a certain following on Instagram, right?
Right.
And that was the only qualifier that I was looking at, right? I wasn't looking at the whole individual. And what you came back to me with was, I want you to take a look at me as a whole, not just that one component.
Right.
And that's what got me. I was like, done.
I'm glad you did.
And the reason why I was, for people to really understand, I was creating a program where I wanted to shift the planet. I wanted to use social media as a platform to really allow for breakthroughs to occur. So in order for that to happen, I was under the impression that I needed to have people to be in this program to have at least 3,000, 5,000 followers. So as they documented their journey, their 2,000, 3,000 followers would be like inspired
right, to
also be on a transformational journey. So that's where the no came in, because you didn't meet one of the requirements. But when you came back and were just like, but that's my world. That's what I do. I help transform the planet. I'm on that mission already. I was like, done. Sold.
Awesome.
And I let other people come in.
Right.
After you, I let others come in who didn't meet that requirement. And I took that requirement out. Bam. It's out. Yeah, because of you. So I just really want to acknowledge you, one, for being a stand for yourself, and two, for opening up, for allowing me to have a breakthrough in what truly matters. If I'm trying to help people, what truly matters? Not some vanity 3,000 Instagram follower account, regardless of what I was trying to do. So I really want to thank you for that.
Well, I thank you because for saying that, but also, and you know this, that moment for me to say, but let me tell you who I am and what I can do is not typical me.
Yes.
Not typical Shayna. So after I said that, I probably balled back up and, you know, I just wanted to get in to get the help, but you know, it's not always. So I say that to say we have those strong point moments, but many of us don't always stand in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, yes, I did that, but then as we went through coaching, I'm like, well, and I started to shrink back because that's just my normal space or my comfort level.
Yeah.
So I do thank you for moving me forward, but I want to go back to your story for a second. How long did you sit before you decided you needed coaching, or what it made you decide to get coached?
I think from the moment that I found out I was being let go, I went on a hunt for like what's next for me. And in terms of like, I need to find something that will create this shift, because right now I'm feeling worthless and right now I'm feeling like a failure. So basically like the next day I went looking for something.
Okay.
And I just didn't know what it was though. You know, I didn't know that it would be in coaching. I didn't know that it would be in transformational work. Like literally I was exploring classes. I was exploring, you know, oh, let me go figure out how to cook Italian food. Maybe that will get my mind off of things. I was just in exploration phase. Okay. And I just happened to fall into transformational work.
Okay.
Yeah.
So switching to like my listeners and my audience, especially here in Cleveland, I get a lot of women, especially Black women, that are, they're in a life change. So the kids are getting older. And so when, you know, when your life changes a little bit, everything else changes, your friend group. So whereas we used to all be friends because our kids were on the little league soccer team, you know, now we're not friends anymore. So they're finding themselves in this phase of their life and they are somewhat timid and scared to get back out there. We talk about it like with dating, but even going out, I'll just go to this comfortable space that I always go to. Any words of encouragement to like break out of that mindset to just, we always call it try new things.
So your question is any tips on how to get people to go from, I need to try this to actually, I'm going to do this?
Or they don't even know where to try. Like some people are in the point that I know I want to get out. I don't know where to go. And then when they get up to ready to go, like I have people that every event, they buy one of my tickets and they never show up. That same person. It's not like people don't come, but they never show up. And it's, or I get questions like, if I come to your event, are the people nice there? And so you can see the kind of concerns they have.
Yes. And you know what? Their concerns are really valid, right? So their concerns really, what I'm hearing is, it's really like a concern of like, will they like me? Will I be liked? Do I fit in?
Correct.
Right. It's sort of like what had you say, you know, when you got your no, you were like, no, but wait, listen, I do fit in, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, how do we get these folks to do the Shayna thing? How do we get them to be like, speak up and step into that? And I heard what you said, like, you did that. I want you to consider this, right? When you did that, there was something there. There was something there that was pulling you, because you could have just said, oh, okay. Or you could have been pissed and emailed me and been nasty or whatever, right? But there was something that compelled you to say, no, I do fit in. This is where I belong, right? And so what's missing for the folks is really like, what are you up to? See, you were up to something that you knew this would help you, right? So people really have to take a step back, and it's like, whether it's a class, whether it's a course, whether it's coaching, whatever, what am I up to in life? And if what I'm up to in life, a class pops up or an event that's in alignment to that, that's what's going to get them out there. So really what's happening is that there's no alignment, and they're just randomly selecting or randomly picking things up. So my tip is, take a step back. What are you up to? Right? Mm-hmm. And what are you up to could really be, I'm up to just making new friends, or I'm up to not being depressed in my house. I'm up to, you know, creating some movement in my life. Then when you see the event, you actually follow through with it, because it's in alignment with what you're up to. But if you don't know what the answer to that is, what are you up to? Then that's where the cancellations happen. That's when they're like, buyer's remorse. And you're like, no, you know what? I want a refund. I don't want to go to that after all.
Right.
Does that land?
I mean, it does. And I just want to, like, for me, I get it. And I speak to my audience, because I was that person. So I used to revel in the fact that I could live my whole life in the same, like, 2 mile radius.
Yeah.
Except for special occasions when I go downtown to the game, but then I come back to my nice comfy neighborhood. And I think a lot of Cleveland has been designed that way, or most cities, when we did, you know, when we started the suburbs, you know, everything you need is in your suburb, your grocery store, sometimes your church or religious place, your schools. Like, you don't need to leave your suburb. But as we start getting older, especially as we're getting ready for a lot of my audience, they're getting ready to be empty nesters, or they are empty nesters. And they're starting to get concerned with, what will my life look like? And I think that's scary in itself.
Yeah.
And then the question is, now what?
Yeah.
And so I try to provide things for them, or here's what's happening, because a lot of times we think the answer is to go somewhere else. The city's wrong. Or if I just lived in New York, it would be different. And I don't think that's the answer, but...
It's not. And I have a story about that. So when I was going through my, transformational work, right, I was doing some workshops or whatever. And in one particular workshop, it's so brilliant with what you just said. One particular workshop, they paired us up with someone that was in the class. And we were supposed to talk about, like, the goals that we wanted to create, right? And so at this point, I still didn't know. Like, coaching, this was like week three after being let go. So I told you it was an 8 month journey.
Right.
So week three, nowhere near. I was clueless. But I was just like so open. So it was like, what do you want to create for yourself in the next year? And so I was coming at it from like a financial perspective, right? So I want X amount of income. I want to be my own boss. Didn't know what that meant though. Right. Want to be my own boss, want X amount of income, want to be happy, da da da. And so then my partner, she said, the partner in the class, she was just like, by next year this time, I want to have my own blog. I need to move out of New York City and be somewhere interesting so I can write about stuff for the blog. And I was like, wait, what? Like, wait, where would you move to that's more interesting than New York City?
Absolutely.
Where can you not start blogging right now in your life, right? So you're absolutely right. The goal, it's not the city. If you change locations, if you change partners, if you change houses, if you change zip codes, that's not always the answer, because guess who's coming along with you? Your mindset.
Right.
Right? Your mindset's coming along. And it's really, so the question that I hear you asking, now what, really should be like, and now what?
Absolutely.
Reframe that same question. right? And really be open to receiving, you know, the messages. You could turn on the TV and see a Rachel Ray cooking segment and be like, I want to learn how to cook Italian food. And that's your now what for right now, right?
Right.
You could, you know, be listening to the radio and hear, you know, you've got an event coming up. That's my now what for right now. You know, I love that. Hold on. I'm going to write that down. That's my now what. Now what for right now. I love that. But you get what I'm saying, right? Like, and be curious. You don't have to have the answer. You don't have to have the answer. You could just have an answer.
Correct.
For the right now. And then that might lead you to the big what's next.
So it's a perfect segue because I kind of skipped around and I want to talk about point of view, which I know you've coached me through and coached others through, and that unanswerable question, because I think all of this comes from that point of view, the now what, or I don't like my job. I want to do something different, but what about the benefits, or what about I can't because of, where you had to be pushed out to kind of find your place. I know a lot of people that I think I should be a songwriter, but I can't leave my job. And I say, so what? Go ahead and write your song. So let's kind of talk about what do you mean when you say point of view?
Right. So something occurred at the age or at around maybe 5 or 6, a big event, or maybe it wasn't a big event. It was just something that occurred in your life that when the situation presented itself, you said, I am not X and the world is Y. And that could have been a failure. That could have been something confronting. That could have been, you know, you experiencing a disappointment, right? And I'll give you an example. For me, at the age of 5, my parents sat me down when my sister was present and said, oh, by the way, you're adopted.
Wow.
You're adopted. As a 5-year-old back in 1980, we're not like the 5-year-olds nowadays that ask, well, what does that mean? And that, you know, a 5-year-old now will like literally can interview you like Barbara Walters, right?
Google it and find out all kind of stuff.
At 5-year-old in 1980, that was not me. That was not us, right? We just were like quiet and just like stood in our confusion and just lived life like that. So when I heard you're adopted, I didn't know what that meant, but I knew that there was a separation, right? Like these weren't my biological parents now, all of a sudden, that I had a set of biological parents that did not want me. Okay. So how I interpreted you're adopted is that means someone didn't want me, so there must be some damage, there must be something wrong with me. Wow. So what I made it mean was I am not the same. There's something different about me. I am not the same. And the world is mean because who would throw out a baby?
Right.
Right. And so I lived my entire life with this point of view of I'm not the same and the world is mean. So for me, my struggle as Nando was, so when my boss brought me in and said, we're letting you go, I thought that was the meanest, like cruel. How could you do this? Like, I just got back from a vacation.
Oh, wow.
Why couldn't you tell me this before? Like, I was just looking for all the mean evidence. She's being mean. The company is horrible. The company is mean, cruel. Like, what a waste. Da, 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 da. That's my point of view. And this is how we live our life. So had I not discovered that this is what I trapped myself in, I wouldn't be the free person that I am right now, right? So now how things occur to me is, oh, I'm able to filter. I'm able to tell the difference between what's real and what's my point of view that I get trapped in. And being able to separate the two actually produces freedom, ease, joy, and love, right? As long as I'm trapped inside of I'm not the same and the world is mean, things coming at me that I don't agree with or a failure or a disappointment, they get amplified and I can't see past it. And then that's where the stuckness comes in. Now I'm stuck because I just had my third heartbreak. Someone just broke up with me. This was the third relationship that didn't work. So the for that person, it might be, I am not lovable and the world rejects me.
Okay.
Right? So if this was their third breakup, it just evidence. See, I'm not lovable and the world totally rejects me.
So will that impact them in their fourth relationship?
Of course, because that's the filter by which you're seeing everything in. That's the filter by which you see your relationships, your career. Or do you have your POV?
Yes.
Do you want to share or no? You don't have to.
You know, mine alternates. I think I have a lot of POVs, you know.
Nope. There's only one.
Mine is, I am not special and the world is judgy.
There you go. Yeah. Now, you could have different flavors of it, right? But that's the main one. And you have to know, just like you know your social security number, just how you know what your name is, you can't be flip-floppity about your point of view that you get trapped in, because then it doesn't really allow you to take ownership of the filter, right? It doesn't let you take ownership, right? Well, it's this. On Tuesdays, it's that. You know, on dance days, it's this. No, it's one point of view by which you filter all life occurrences. And so what is it again? I am not special.
Yep. And the world is judgy.
Yep. So you're always feeling judged, right?
Right.
You're always feeling judged. Judged in your business, judged in your appearance, judged in how you show up at your event, right? Yeah. Yeah. And it actually feels real, right?
Right.
It's so not real.
I know.
It's all in your head.
I know.
Just like the world is not mean. The world is not mean. It's just in my head. But when we get trapped in these point of views, it is so real. So what's the point in discovering this? Because now we're able to see, wait a minute. Is this just my point of view? Yeah, I think this is just my point of view. And you're able to push the point of view aside and actually take life as it's happening and be inside of just life. That's it. No one's being mean to me. They might just be having a bad day, da, da, da. But if I'm in my point of view, I can't see their side. I can't see what's over there. It's always just about me.
Right. And you might not even engage to find out if they're judgy or whatever that the world is mean, because you anticipate it. So you talk yourself out of it. And I think that's one of the things I know I do personally, but I also see a lot from the audience. I was going to come, but. And I often, when I coach or talk to others, I tell them, your initial excuse isn't really what happened. So I was going to come, but I was worried about parking. It wasn't about the parking. Because you've parked downtown plenty of times, or you've parked in this city plenty of times.
Yeah.
There's something else. And so it's probably that POV.
It could be the point of view. And it's really about, like, again, what they're up to. What are they committed to, right? So for you, right?
Right.
Like, think about it. I totally judged you, right?
Yeah, so
like,
I was
you're
right.
You're not a fit. Did you connect that? Like, after you discovered what your point of view, you probably didn't connect it.
Let's connect it right now. I had forgotten that.
Let's connect it right now, right? How real did it look like when I said no? You're not a fit. I think, was judging you.
I think I missed it because I was like, oh no, I'm supposed to be here. Like, yeah. I didn't even see it.
Well, trust me, it was in the background, because something, when you got the no, something landed for you to be able to come back and say X, right? Maybe it didn't take you out, because your commitment overrode your point of view. Do you get that?
Right. Like you said, yeah. What was I working towards? And so because I had that.
Exactly. Exactly. That was stronger.
Right.
That was stronger than your point of view. And that doesn't always happen. That point of view will have someone say, well, parking was bad, I didn't come. Right?
Right.
And then, or what will happen is they'll show up, but then they'll be inside their point of view and be like, I don't like this. Like, yep. I don't like those people. I'm leaving, like 10 minutes in, right?
Right.
So the discovering what the point of view is truly, truly like a magical force in your life.
Can we shift that to relationships? Because I also know that there's lots of people that, you know, I can't find a good man, or I can't find a good partner, or guys are this, I should be married by now. How does that impact? Or let's kind of make that parallel.
Yeah. So if think about it, if that's the filter by which you live your life, you know, I am not special, mm-hmm. and the world is judging me. Think about it. You know, you meet someone, they say they're going to call and they don't, bam, you see, I'm not special. Right? Let's say they do call. And they don't, you know, you say something like, okay, let's meet at Starbucks. I don't want to meet at Starbucks. Who meet at Starbucks? Let's meet here. Bam. They just judged me. So then now there's a taste in your mouth when you show up on the first date. Like, holy crap, this person's going to judge me left and right, you know? So that's how we walk into relationships. That's how we walk into the dating space, with that point of view magnifying how things show up for us. If you really pull it out, all he said was he doesn't want to meet at a Starbucks. That's it. It's all right. I might not want to meet you at a Starbucks as a friend. Like, I don't want to meet there, you know? Right. But because my filter is I am not the same and the world is mean, like, ooh, I don't want to meet. I might cancel because I can't deal with this. Like, what? He didn't want to meet at Starbucks? What? You know? And so I'll cancel the date. So the point of view will either have you show up and be in a mood, or you will cancel and then nothing will even happen.
And I think I wanted to talk about that and touch on that just to bring it into awareness for folks.
Yeah.
I know you and I have worked on this a lot, but there's plenty of folks, I would think, that they haven't gone through coaching or any kind of even a therapy session. So they just are into relationship after relationship. And they can't figure out, you know, the common denominator, or that's what they expect now. They expect someone that's going to treat them poorly because that's what they accept.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to touch on that. But let's talk about.
So with that one, it's either like two tracks, right? It's okay. The track of all, because we hear it. All I attract are losers. All I attract are, you know, XYZ. And it's consider that it's because of your point of view. That's your filter. So those are the only people you're responding to, because if I'm not the same and the world is mean, I'm not going to go out with this other person over here because for fear of what if, you know, they're the actual mean monster that I'm making them out to be. So I'll go with the familiar that's over here, which is going to turn into the meanness, right?
Okay.
Whatever it is.
Right.
So that's one track. Like, you either are only attracting one kind, or you're sitting back turning everyone down because you're waiting for the one, which with your filter on, no one's ever going to be the one.
Is there a such thing as the one, do you think?
I think so. I think you create the one. You create the one because anyone can actually be your one. To be honest with you, if you're actually like inside of creation, see what people fail to realize is we have fallen into a trap of what a relationship looks like based on past experiences, based on other people's past experiences, based on Beyonce videos, based on romantic comedies, based on all these things. Beyonce doesn't even have her relationship based on her own music, right? Like, right. It's a creation of a private thing between her and Jay-Z. That's it, right? We don't have the answer. She'll let us in, you know,
right.
The parts that she wants to let us in, but we don't full-blown know what's going on inside. And that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. That's amazing because that's theirs and it's unique. She does not have the same relationship that her mom, Tina, had, right? That's what's so successful in what they're currently doing is it's working for them. whatever it is. And any couple, if you look at Goldie Hawn and Russell, you know, and her husband, or they're not even married. If you look at Goldie Hawn and Russell, I forgot what is
Kurt Russell.
Yes. They're not even married, but whatever's working for them is working. And I bet you, Will and Jada, whatever they're doing is working for them. And yes, they'll let us in on a little bit of what they're doing.
Right.
But we're not following them 24/7 on what's going on. So what I'm, all of this is to say, one, you get to decide what you want your relationship to be like. You know, I had an aunt and uncle that were married for X amount of years, and then they decided we can't live together. So they bought houses next door to each other.
Oh, wow.
And so their relationship was sometimes he would stay over at her place. Sometimes she would stay over at his. Sometimes everyone would just stay at their own place. But they were married. They weren't seeing other people. They just could not live together. And in my family, it was something's wrong. It's the weirdest setup. Da, da, da. It's just because it didn't look like everyone else's. But that's what worked for them. I thought that was amazing.
I mean, that's genius.
Like, that, right? So I'm taking a look at, did you ever watch Sex in the City?
Yes, when she kept her apartment.
Where he said, could we live, right, like certain days? Oh, my, like it was the biggest scandal in the universe.
Yes.
Hey, if that's what works, then that's what works. You get to create it without any past into it, you know?
Right.
You're only creating for the now and for the future.
Yes. And I had heard somewhere, I don't know if it was you or someone said, especially with the romantic comedies, we only see up to the kiss. We never see what comes after the wedding or they get to the altar. We see the wedding, but you don't see the marriage, you know?
Exactly. You don't see when someone loses the job.
Right.
And now the other person feels heavy and responsible for making the money for the household. You don't see in that when one of you loses a parent and seeing them go through a depressed state of mind for a year. Mm-hmm. You don't see that. And you don't see the fights because the person is depressed, because the person is out of a job. They're walking around feeling like a failure. And then you come to them and say, the dishes aren't done. I've got bigger problems. I'm walking around feeling like a failure. And you're over here complaining about the dishes not being done. And then there's a fight that occurs, right?
Right.
So you're right. In those movies, we don't get the full picture. We don't get the full human experience. Death, losing of a job, promotions. Now you used to make less money. Now you're the one making more. There's a swag that comes in place. Now you got to deal with the new swag in your partner. Like, it's all these components. And it's beautiful because we're always evolving. Nothing stays the same. And it's evolving and moving along in that shift with your partner. And sometimes you're falling behind because they've evolved up here. Sometimes you're side by side. Sometimes one's further than the other. Sometimes you both are kind of behind. And that's the evolution of it. That's part of creating.
You know, part of what you're saying, since we don't always see, I want to make that transition to social media. Because it seems like when we get those glimpses of maybe something unique that Will and Will and Jada are doing, or Beyonce and Jay-Z, we make that judgment. Oh, that's not a real marriage. That's not, they're headed for divorce. You know, and I always try to have the empathy and compassion of, I'm not going to speak on anybody's relationships or their career choices or their business because, you know, I don't know and it's not my space. But I want to talk about like social media and how that feeds into point of view. And it's, I mean, we know even your algorithm will change based on what you're clicking, but also the point of being vulnerable, because many people feel that they can't be vulnerable because all I'm seeing is everyone living their best life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's that whole movement, right? Of live your best life. And so then everybody's on that wagon of, oh, I must only post beautiful pictures of me in Mexico drinking margaritas, right?
Right.
I'll let you in on something. When I first started coaching, I didn't know if I was going to keep up my social media because all the coaches I followed were posting things of, look at my success. And they were posting things of, they were like, their jet, their private plane was in the background.
Right.
Or they were in their pool, you know, on a call, saying, oh, my next client is in 5 minutes, right? And I was like, I don't have that. Right. I don't have that. I just have my vision board and a plan, right? Like, who's going to want to look at that? And so it really got me present to, wait a minute. First of all, what am I up to? I'm up to changing the world. I'm up to helping transform people. So I don't have to have a plane. It's right. not in my radar. It's not something at the moment. I'm not like, that's a goal of mine. Having a pool would be, right? Right. Having a pool so I could go out there and relax and da da da, but not to show off. Right. Like, you know, I'm a coach and you're not a coach unless you have a pool, right? It's literally to like relax. Let me dive in. A friend of mine has a pool and I'm like so happy for her. Right. She's in Phoenix. I think you need a pool.
Absolutely.
If it's out there, right? But social media can truly, truly have a negative impact on us. And that's the purpose of me starting the Brand Ambassador Program, is to have a group coaching call with fabulous people that are up to big things and have them document their social, have them document on social their transformational journey and being coached. So then that would influence their followers into saying, oh, maybe I could get coaching. Like, you know, Shayna's doing some amazing work. I want to do that too. If she can do it, I can do it, right? So, yes, social media can be a place of poison. Mm-hmm. If that's how you, again, it's about being a creator. Social media can be a place of poison if that's how you create it to be. I literally log on to Facebook and I get so many positive things. I sometimes have to shut it off because it's just like, read this article on 3 ways to be happier. Right. Read this article on 4 ways to like take that beautiful vacation. And like you said, depending on what you click on, that's what they serve you more. It used to be, all I used to get was breaking news. Wendy Williams just announced her divorce. I stopped clicking on that stuff. So now my feed is literally like Santa Claus, rainbows, and unicorns.
Nice.
And that's what it's nice to have a good mixture. I feel mine's a little bit heavy on the good stuff that sometimes I don't even get my friends' feeds anymore. Oh, like, what are they up to? Yeah, because just the way I have it set up. So I would say, you know, take a look at your social media. What's the feeling you're left with? What's the experience you're having while you're going through Instagram? And if it's like feelings of jealousy, feelings of envy, like, oh my God, FOMO, really think about muting people or unfollowing to really just follow the people that you really resonate with and that inspire you to be your best self without having you to pretend, you know, I'm the best coach ever. Here's my plane. Didn't a rapper get caught doing that? I think so.
And it wasn't like he wasn't on the plane or he was in like regular coach class. But he had taken a picture saying he was doing something else.
Yeah. But that's what it is. It's people wanting to really present living their best lives. And on my social media feeds, you get the good, the bad, and the ugly because that's where I coach from. I coach from my breakdowns and my breakthroughs because I want people to relate to me.
Absolutely. You know, as we get ready to wrap up, let's talk about just getting a coach and why someone might make that next step, because I've heard someone say, well, I've just got friends to talk to, and so that'll get me through. But I think, you know, having someone professional to help you through it, and a coach can't coach a coach, so even coaches need coaches, is important. So can you speak to that?
Absolutely. So I have 3 coaches myself, right? I have 3 coaches in 3 different areas. Okay. One inside my coaching business, one in personal development, and then the other one on finances, right?
Right.
So those are the coaches that I have. And why get a coach and not just rely on your friends? And I did a video on this a while back where I feel like if you're only relying on your friends, it's really putting them in a situation where your friends just want to love on you. Your friends just want to like be there for you. Your friends want to support you. And to put them in a situation where you're actually asking them to give you straight up feedback, it's kind of uncomfortable and it's kind of unfair, right? Yes, you have people that you want to be, you know, honest with you and things like that. But are those the people that truly have training in how to get you to that next level. Okay, so maybe you show up and you're judgmental and people don't want to be around you. What do you do there?
Right.
Your friend comes to you and says, okay, you know what? You want to know the truth? Here's the truth. You're very judgmental. People don't want to be around you and you're kind of a downer. Okay, where do you go from there?
Right.
Now you feel isolated. Now you feel like, well, I can't hang out with these folks. So it's really putting your friends in a spot, right?
Right.
And consider that your friends don't have the training. So where are they basing their, like, try this instead? Where are they basing that on? Well, probably media, probably songs, probably movies. Well, just try being a little nicer. What does that mean? Is there a formula for that? Is there a strategy behind that? What does that mean? Try being a little nicer. Try being not so judgmental. Is there a structure? Is there a formula? Is there something to get you to that point? They don't have that. They don't have the training. So that's where a coach comes in. A coach can actually, and here's the beautiful part about being a coach or getting a coach, is that you have to self-generate. You have to come and say, okay, this is the area I want to work on.
Right.
Right? Because that means that you're ready. Right? People who are not ready won't go and seek a coach. So think about it that way too. If you're considering a coach, it's because you're so ready for that next level of you, whatever that is, right? And a coach will actually create a plan just for you to get you there, whatever that, you know, whatever there is.
Okay. So that just totally landed with something I was thinking through. So thank you for that. And you know, I believe in coaching. But before we go, I want to know, what do you have if people want to work with you? Any upcoming projects or a way for people to say, I'm loving what I'm hearing, I need to work with you?
Yes. I'm currently working with women in who are top influencers in their industry, right? And so It's a really great spot to be in. And what that looks like is I work with them one-on-one coaching. I'm about to open up a whole new group coaching program. Okay. So that's an opportunity there as well. And I also have an online course that I just released 2 weeks ago, right? And that was my problem. And you kept me on that. You reached out like a few days before and you're like, is it ready yet? And I was like, no, I said April 19th.
Well, so, you say to have it done before, so I wanted to make sure you were still on it.
Yes, yes, yes. But see, that's the thing. That's how coachable I am, right? Like, I told you guys, keep me to account that it is up on April 19th. Did you get the second release, module 2?
No, I didn't get module 2 yet. I didn't see it.
Okay, so just log back in. Module 2 was released yesterday. Okay. I still got to figure out how to send you guys the alerts that module 2 is ready now. I don't know how to do that yet, right? The new platform? Yeah, it's a new platform for me. So every Friday, FYI, every Friday, a new module will be released, and there's 6 modules. So next Friday, module 3 will be out. Okay, so how to work with me. I have
one. That's not your brand ambassador, right? That webinar. You didn't mention
that. No, that's an online course. You do it on your own pace, right? So the online course is out, and it's for entrepreneurs, and it's called Entrepreneurial AF. And it's for entrepreneurs that feel like there's a block, there's an obstacle there, and we create movement in whatever that block is by the end of the course. Okay. You will see movement. You'll actually start seeing movement by module 3, right? Okay. So one-on-one coaching, group coaching, online course. There's going to be some speaking engagements that are coming up. I'm looking for speaking engagements if people are interested in having me come in to their companies and really create communication with them in their departments, whatever it is. But all the information is on nandawism.com. Everything is housed there if they want to sign up for anything, get more information, and see if coaching is right for them. Nandawism.com. Yep.
And then on the social medias, you are?
Nandawism. Everything is Nandawism on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. Just look up Nandawism and you will find me.
Well, I thank you so much for taking the time as always to talk to me and to talk to my listeners. And hopefully we will be in touch and stay in touch as I get ready to do module 2, maybe today.
Yes. Yes.
But yeah, thank you for all your time. We will stay in touch. I love all that you have taught me, and a few 30-day cycles, because usually we've met and worked together for 30 days, and it's totally changed my mindset, changed how I do things, and helped me. So thank you for taking the time, and I will talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you so much. We'll talk soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Black Girl in CLE, the podcast. Please check us out online at www.blackgirlincle.com and like and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Black Girl INCLE. Talk to you next time.